You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The Cleveland Browns draft picks are in. Order your jersey straight from the team. Batonio just killed it on the radio for us. Get his number 75. Obviously, Johnny Manziel, Justin Gilbert, Terrence West, Pierre Desir, Chris Kirksey, all available right now by visiting the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. Open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. From one Joel, we go to another here as we go to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. And Joel Corey, former agent and NFL contract and salary cap writer for the National Football Post and CBSSports.com, joins us now. Joel, thanks for joining us here on CBD.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
We are excited to have you on. I'm a big fan of a lot of stuff you've been writing lately, especially about the salary cap, making it very easy for those who never have been in that world to understand how things go down. And you wrote an especially interesting piece about this whole Jimmy Graham situation and how he wants to be regarded as a wide receiver, which would put him up around $16 million a year, et cetera, et cetera. And how that could be tough for the Saints, and that there are possibilities for a team maybe to match that offer sheet, give up the two first-rounders, and a team that has the money to do so, as you mentioned, the Cleveland Browns. So, Joel, what's the likelihood in your mind that a team does go ahead and try to pry Graham away by matching that offer sheet or signing one?
Realistically, I don't think anyone is going to make a run at Jimmy Graham because teams place a high value on first-round picks. And the last guy to move for full compensation as a franchise player was Joey Galloway in 2000 when he went from Seattle to Dallas. I don't think he is going to move, but I wanted to identify some teams that if they wanted to make a run at Jimmy Graham that were best positioned to do so, and Cleveland's at the top of that list.
So as you look at it, and Joel, you write from the perspective of a former agent, of someone kind of sizing up these opportunities for clients, because that's what you did. Why would it make sense, just from a standpoint of a team like the Browns, that are still in the very early stages of building things, even though they've got some components that are here and now, but new head coach, new GM, and really, in the accumulation of additional picks for next year, 10 that they're going to have next year, why would something like this make sense for them?
Well, first and foremost, players want to get paid. They want to get paid more so than they want to win. So Jimmy Graham going from potential Super Bowl caliber team to a rebuilding team wouldn't be that big of a consideration if the money was right. Cleveland's got roughly $25 million of cap room right now. They've got the extra first-round pick from the Sammy Watkins deal. They're in great shape cap-wise next year. They only have $106 million committed in the top 51 players for next year. So they're in a really good shape if they wanted to make a run for him. I know they had a Pro Bowl caliber tight end in Jordan Cameron, who is in a contract year. It's just that the total receiver picture, including the wide receivers, looks like it could use an upgrade, assuming Josh Gordon is gone for the entire year. Ray Farmer says you don't need an elite receiver to win a Super Bowl. But outside of Miles Austin being a potential number one receiver, the other guys are second and third receivers at best.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the Gordon suspension obviously looming out there in light of the news about the Pro Bowl linebacker Darrell Washington being suspended for the Arizona Cardinals for a full season today. Obviously has gotten some people here in the Cleveland area a little nervous, as you might expect, Joel. When you look at Jimmy Graham and you look at what he's trying to do, what do you think? Do you think, number one, do you think he's going to win this fight to say that he's really a wide receiver, given the fact that he split away almost, 70% of his snaps? And what do you think will end up being the threshold to determine whether one is a quote unquote tight end or a receiver going forward in light of that decision?
Well, the key thing is how the collective bargaining agreement defines franchise tag positions. It's the position where you played the most snaps in the prior year. Those 45% of the snaps he took in the slot are what are going to be key. I have no idea how an arbitrator is going to view those snaps. I thought the grievance a couple of years ago with Drew Brees would be decided the other way. So I'm kind of curious to see persuasive the arbitrator is going to be by the fact that those snaps in the slot could be considered wide receiver snaps. Because if he wins that grievance, that gives him a huge amount of leverage in terms of negotiations. And also, it has huge ramifications on the cap for the Saints. Right now, Jimmy Graham's counting at the tight end tender of a little over $7 million. If they lose the grievance, then they're going to have $12 million in cap room, well, have him count for $12 million, a little more than that, which is the wide receiver number. So they'd have to restructure some contracts or cut people because they only have $2 million of cap room right now. So that's a big decision in terms of what it's going to do in the leverage play and where he could ultimately end up on a deal.
We're visiting with Joel Corey. He is a former agent and currently writes about contract and salary cap issues for National Football Post for CBSSports.com. Does a terrific job there joining us here on CBD. Joel, you know, you mentioned it, and it's true. I've heard this from GMs and certainly from any number of agents, that money rules all, that in the end, that's all decisions are going to be based on where a player will end up when he changes teams as a free agent. But that said, how much do you think, or is there any factor in Cleveland looking like a more attractive place when that player might be available to multiple teams? Looking at it from an agent's perspective, too, you do want to put your clients, I'm guessing, in a place where they can also thrive and have an opportunity to get the success that will be get more money down the road. So how is Cleveland looking as the potential for that?
Well, if I'm looking at it from a pure football standpoint, out of teams that have cap room that could possibly sign Jimmy Graham, Green Bay would be at the top of the list. They have a glaring need at tight end.
Yep.
They've got a better quarterback than Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. So, and they could really be a Super Bowl contender with Jimmy Graham at tight end, because that would give them something they haven't had at tight end. Cleveland, I put a little higher than Jacksonville, even though Jacksonville has a little more cap room, just because I like what Cleveland has as a nucleus defensively, whereas I think Jacksonville's a little farther away. But the interesting thing is, with all that cap room, if they wanted to commit $15 million on the cap in 2014 to sign Jimmy Graham, I don't see how New Orleans is going to match something where you front-load the contract that much, because they would have too much work to do and would have too much of a ramification on their roster to keep them at that point.
Yeah, and that's one of the things when the Browns were going through the Alex Mack situation, that they were looking at, could a team front-load it so much that the Browns wouldn't want to do it? Now, fortunately, the Browns had the money, and that worked out well for them. Joel, I want to ask you, given your background, about the Joe Hayden deal, how you thought that played out for both sides, the Browns and Joe Hayden, and also with two young guys who I think are really, you know, Jordan Cameron broke out last year, but Jabal Sheard is there as well. How do you see their structures maybe going if the team chooses to lock them up before they get to test the market?
Well, I thought Joe Hayden came in a little higher than I thought it would. He should really send a thank you card to Richard Sherman for that one, because it's much easier for someone to come into an existing market than set a market, as Sherman did. So him getting pretty close to it on the average per year, and the amount in guarantees is what was a surprise to me, because before Sherman's deal, you didn't have any cornerbacks with $30 million in guarantees. Now you got two over $40 million. Now, with Jordan Cameron, that's the situation where if I'm representing him, you're not going to hear anything below the maximum value of Jared Cook's deal out of my mouth, which
right.
is $38 million over 5 years, $19 million guarantees. And I'm really going to wait until Jimmy Graham has some sort of resolution and let him push the market up even higher and try to come in somewhere where I'm the second highest paid tight end in the $8 million per year range or above. That's what I really expect to happen with Jordan Cameron if he's going to get done. And with Sheard, I think that's a guy that I might wait a little bit more on him, let him prove it to me a little bit more before signing him. Having the franchise tag possibly in mind for him if we aren't comfortable getting him done.
Joe Corey, former agent. Again, he writes for National Football Post, for CBSSports.com. He's joining us via the Ohio Business Machines hotline. With the rookies who have been signed, and it seems like the numbers indicate and the calendar indicates sooner signings, I guess, than ever. Now, one caveat to that is that the draft was a couple of weeks later, so I got to believe that that factors maybe some way in squeezing that calendar between the draft and the start of camp. But nonetheless, a lot of players, many teams right now, having their entire draft classes signed. The Browns got one of their guys done in Pierre Desir. Yesterday they announced that, working on the others. But give us a sense on what the trend is here and what is happening with agents and teams getting these deals done sooner.
Well, the 2011 collective bargaining agreement radically changed how rookies were compensated. It's basically a rookie wage scale now. So a trained monkey could do these deals. There's not a whole lot for you to fight about. So there's really no reason why deals won't get done sooner rather than later. Sometimes a team doesn't want to sign players that early because they don't want them to have signing bonus money in their pockets. So once they leave after OTAs and mini camp, they've got money that they could, burn a hole in their pockets until they come back for training camp to start. The one issue that I thought you'd see more of at the top of the draft, which you haven't seen at all, is the battle over offsets, which basically means that if a player gets cut in the later years of the rookie deal, we have a chance to double dip by making money from the team that drafted him and the team that he signs the next contract with, as opposed to the drafting, recouping the amount that was guaranteed from the new contract. That hasn't been an issue so far this year like it was last year. Barcadius Mingo had offsets in his deal last year, so I expect that to happen this year. But that's one of the reasons why you've seen more deals done at the top of the draft than you saw this time last year.
Joel, Johnny Manziel picked 22nd overall. At the 23rd pick, Dee Ford got 3 of his 4 years guaranteed. At 21, HaHa Clinton Dix today signing, and all 4 of his years are guaranteed in his base salary. Do you expect Johnny Manziel to get all 4 years as well?
Well, one thing you've seen with quarterbacks under the rookie wage scale, and you saw it in the second round when Kaepernick and Andy Dalton were drafted, they got favorable treatment with guarantees. So I expect Johnny Manziel to have a fully guaranteed contract.
And my other question is, given the Browns' kind of salary cap position, how do you see that being kind of an asset for them going forward when they have guys that they need to lock up, number one, and also just positioning them for the future?
Well, they've done a marvelous job in cap planning. So any guys that they want to extend, that they view as a core player, they should be able to, provided the demands aren't excessive by the player. And it also gives them a lot of flexibility come free agency time. That means if they want to go out and target a high-profile guy, they can do that. If they want to sign, go the more value route like Philadelphia has done, they can do that as well. It also allows you to structure your contracts in a pay-as-you-go manner where you don't have a lot of signing bonus. You have more guarantees on a year-to-year basis. That's going to eat up more cap room, which they have enough cap room where you can do that. But if you make a mistake on a player, there's not going to be that much dead money if you release them early on.
Joel, one other question I had for you was regarding Josh Gordon, because a lot of people with this potential looming suspension over there, you know, a lot of the talk is, man, I just can't imagine how, if this comes down, how much money he truly cost himself. Given where he was in the program, let's say that nothing happened to Josh Gordon and he plays this year at another level like he did last year. When he was coming up, given where he truly stood, could he have gotten a huge deal at that point? And does this blemish here, if he does in fact lose his appeal and ends up being suspended, how much money is he costing himself? Has he kind of cost himself the ability to ever get that big guaranteed deal?
Well, my understanding is he's in stage 3, the final stage of the drug program, which means you're basically in that for the rest of your career. It may have more of an effect on structure than actual overall compensation.
Okay.
He's going to take a hit in overall compensation, but that's definitely not a guy you give a signing bonus to. He's a guy where you're going to have the guarantees on a year-to-year basis. He's a pay-as-you-go structure guy. because if you're suspended, your guarantee is void in the contract.
Right.
So it would make it very easy for them to get rid of him. If you take all of his problems, off-the-field problems, out of the equation, you're looking at a guy that could have, if he kept playing the way he did last year, become one of those Megatron Larry Fitzgerald type of receivers in terms of compensation, $16 million a year, $45, $50 million in guarantees. He's not going to get that now because you're not going to trust him that much. It's going to be at a lower amount. Maybe it's going to be at the second tier receiver money. I'm not sure where that's going to be in a couple of years. But you're going to see guys like Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Demaryius Thomas, and Dez Bryant raise the bar for the receiver salaries.
So he's going to be a bargain. I mean, just because of the damage that has been done to trust.
Yeah, he's in the same position as Aldon Smith. If San Francisco ever decides to pay him, it's not going to quite be what it should have been, and structurally it's going to be team-friendly. Von Miller potentially is in that same boat as well.
Wow. Joel, very fascinating stuff from you, man.
Thank you.
We really appreciate you taking the time. We hope we can have you back on again with us.
Oh, anytime, and especially for a fellow Emory alum.
Ah, that's right. There we go. The Eagles.
Joel
exactly.
Corey. Joel Corey,
still,
Emory alum.
Still undefeated in football. Thank you very little.
Very true.
Thanks, Joel.
Good stuff, Joel. Former agent, NFL contract salary cap writer for National Football Post for CBSSports.com. And he comes to us via the Ohio Business Machines hotline. OBM, Ohio Business Machines, and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team, it's unconditional. So is the loyalty that OBM provides to its customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and 7-year security blanket, teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum-level service provider in town. So OBM can tackle any of your copier problems, and you'll never scramble to keep your office running. Now the preferred document services provider of the Cleveland Browns. Visit OhioBusinessMachines.com today, or please call 216-485-2000. Go Emory.
That's right. That's right. Go Emory. I like it. All right. We'll be back. Take your phone calls. What did you think about it? I thought that was some fascinating stuff. If you have any salary issue type questions, the Jimmy Graham situation, we can check in with your tweets on that. Your phone calls, 216-578-0850. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. 10 minutes away from the Friday forecast with the crew. I'll be just fine. Yeah. No offense.